Thank you for visiting New Song Community Church on the web at newsongpdx.com. We pray that you will be blessed by listening to the message today. You are welcome to celebrate with us in worship and the Word every Sunday at 10 a.m. We are located on the corner of Russell Street at 2511 Northeast Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard in Portland, Oregon.
Come on, let's stand in His presence today. Give the Lord a big hand. This is Resurrection Sunday. Hallelujah! 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 Come on! You can't tell me to hold it down today. If there's a day to get excited, it's today. Because, you know, I remember a song we used to sing. We haven't sung it since. Brother Paul, you don't know that song. He got up. I ain't gonna mess with you on that. But I remember the song. He got up. God raised him up. He got up with all power in his hand. I'll never forget that song. Someday they'll catch on to it. They're behind us. We're going to go to Philippians chapter 3, verses 7 through 14. You see, usually they have a text that's in, you know, the Gospels that talks about the resurrection. But I think Paul had an idea. Matter of fact, he had a concept about really knowing who Christ really is. And I believe he's got something to share with us today that will impact your life. We're going to read verses 7 through 14. You'll find the responding verses on the screen behind me, and that'll be yours to read. But what things were gained to me, these I have counted lost for Christ. And be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is from faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith. If by any means I may attain to resurrection from the dead. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting things that are behind and reaching forward to the things which are ahead. Verse 14, read that together. I press toward the mark. Praise God. Let's pray. Lord God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I just want to speak prophetically today that somehow things we're going to leave behind. Amen. Because the power of your resurrection will be infused upon us today in no way like we've ever known before. Lord, we want to know you in a way we've never known you before. In the power of your resurrection, but also in the fellowship of your suffering. There's nothing we'll go through that you won't go through with us, that you won't prepare us for. And by the power of the Holy Spirit, I speak prophetically into lives today that the death that they experience, oh God, will be aliveness in Christ. Holy Spirit, speak to us today. We'll give you all the glory, the honor, and the praise. For we ask all these things in the powerful name of Jesus. Shout a hallelujah. Amen. Amen. I want you to turn before you sit down, I want you to turn your neighbor, look him square in the eye, tell him, forget about it. Glory to God. Come on. I think some people are ready to hear from God today. To some degree, the initial response to the news of Jesus' resurrection was anticlimactic, and I would have to say that because, ironically, some of his closest disciples failed to recognize him when he was traveling on the road to Emmaus. And if you went to the scripture, it would tell you about that he's walking, they're walking along the road, Jesus joins up with them. This is after the resurrection. He starts talking to them, and they start talking back to him. And they didn't even know it was Jesus. We just talked about just to know him. And I pray by the end of this message, you'll get to know him. So here it is. On the contrary, Paul encountered Jesus on the road to Damascus at a time when his heart was filled with unbelief. Matter of fact, he was on an assassination mission to kill all Christians. And he's the one that says, I need to know him in the power of his resurrection, in the fellowship of his suffering. Isn't it amazing the disciples didn't really recognize him on the road, but somehow Paul had an encounter with him because all of a sudden a light comes from heaven, he falls to the ground, but the first thing he says, who art thou, Lord? There are things that are happening in your life that you know only Jesus could have done it. It wasn't magic. It wasn't anything else. It was the power of God working in your life. And so his intent was, he wrote this particular account from prison. Huh? That I may know him in the fellowship, in the power of his resurrected fellowship. But he's in jail. The only thing you're going to write in jail is, somebody get me out of here. But he wants to know Jesus, and he goes a little bit further. To desire to experience such a relationship with the Lord can only lead someone to affirm their belief with a conviction that can challenge the doubt and skepticism held by those who live under the deception of the enemy of our souls. Some people don't feel like it's important to know Jesus. Matter of fact, they're dismissing any opportunity that you may have to have an encounter with him. Here's three questions we'll just propose quickly. First of all, are you willing to experience what it takes to truly know the power of the resurrected Savior? It's easy to say, but it's not so easy to do. Moving on to number two, does the thought of dying daily to yourself seem worth it to get to know Jesus? And furthermore, lastly, are there things in your past that are a hindrance to the relationship you desire to have with Jesus in your future? Boy, those are tough questions. Let's dive into it. And one of the things I want to take you just for a few minutes into some of the things that led up to the crucifixion of Christ, that he says, that I may know him. But you can't get to know him unless you know what he went through to go to the cross. So let's go. To truly know Christ, we must be willing to live like he died. And that's John chapter 18, verses 25 through 27. It says this. Now Simon Peter stood and warmed himself. Therefore, he said to him, you are not also one of the disciples, are you? And he denied and said, I am not. Go on to the next verse. One of the servants of the high priest, a relative of him whose ear Peter cut off, said, did I not see you in the garden with him? Peter said, he then denied again, and immediately a rooster crowed. To put all this together for you real quickly, just kind of get a synopsis of what happened. One of the relatives of the person who Peter cut off his ear at one point when Jesus was being arrested, he says, what, aren't you the guy that did that? He says, uh-uh. In other words, it wasn't fashionable, nor was it convenient, nor was it equitable for him to admit that he knew Jesus. And he's right in the garden, and he's witnessing what Jesus is going through. I don't know how you've ever, if you've ever experienced it or not. Maybe you have. Most of us probably have. You have a person that was close to you, but they either denied they knew you or they didn't stand up for you when you really needed them to stand with you. You know what they call it? Betrayal. You could have been the betrayer or the one who has been betrayed. But you will never know Jesus unless you really know or you're willing or you've been accustomed to or you've experienced being betrayed. And it's not, I want to tell you, it's not the end of the world, but it helps you identify more with Jesus, that when betrayal happens, you say, yeah, but you know what? The same Jesus that went through it, he'll take me through it. And some of you will get healing this morning from those people that you still have locked out of your life because they betrayed you, they turned on you, their tongue grew. And as a matter of fact, you haven't spoken to them in a long, long time. Well, Peter was in the line of sight. Here's the interesting thing. Where he was when this actually occurred, Peter, from the, they tell me, and I'm not a historian, but he was less than 30 feet, probably closer to 20 feet, of where Jesus is being, you know, being interrogated. And Jesus can see him. He can see Jesus, but he still doesn't acknowledge him. I don't know who you're talking about. Well, Peter believed that he would never deny Jesus, no matter what, until he heard the sound of the rooster crowing, because just a few days before that, he says, you know, Lord, I'll never deny you. And the Lord says, really? Seriously? Before the cock crows twice, you're going to deny me three times. And that's kind of hurtful. But, you know, if you really want to know Christ, if you really have a fellowship with his suffering, there's some things you're going to have to face in life. Well, let's get to the next one. What can, we can never know Christ and the power of his resurrection until we consider the things that led up to his crucifixion. Luke 22, 53. When I was with you daily in the temple, you did not seize me, but this is your hour and the power of darkness. And you say, well, what's that all about? You know, Jesus says, wait a minute. You had every opportunity to seize me, and now you're taking this power play. And what he says, we must be willing to experience a heartache of disappointment. You had every opportunity to take me out, and now you're going to do it? Really? Ever been unfairly ambushed by folks that you didn't know where it was coming from, but all of a sudden, here it is. You have no way to prepare for it. Furthermore, Jesus suffered untold mockery and beatings and blasphemous words that were spoken about him with no one coming to his defense. Well, the power of Jesus' resurrection can only be obtained when we are willing to experience suffering at the hands of a society that celebrates wrong things. What does that mean? Well, it means that Jesus understood what it's like when you're ridiculed and mocked for standing up for righteousness. It's not popular, folks. It really isn't popular. As a matter of fact, some of us have taken the pledge of silence towards certain things. We don't want people to know. Well, but the Lord had me write down these things that really weren't in my notes there. They don't even have them up there. I wanted to write down these few things and just share them with you because they're very important. How do you really know someone? Ever thought about that? Well, first thing, obviously, is a relationship. You get together with certain times or whatever. Person that you exercise with, have coffee with, whatever it happens to be. Well, that's a relationship. But here's the thing, how we really know people. We know their habits, their likes and dislikes. My wife knows, don't ever, ever put a particular vegetable in with, she knows what vegetable that is. In with a roast. She did it one time. I've forgiven her. All right, parsnips do not belong in roasts. Parsnips are for donkeys. Beautiful roast. But she knows, don't do that again. It's not a happy time. You know their habits, their likes and dislikes. But the most important thing, you know their values. And I think sometimes we get confused in this fact that we want to know Christ. We not want to know Christ. If you want to know Christ, you better hold on to his values and not yours. There are certain things that you know Christ wouldn't do, but he said, well, it's kind of okay. You know, Jesus understands. He knows I'm human. Guess what? So was he. That's not an excuse. That's valid. Another thing I wrote down real quickly was preferences, beliefs. But here's the other thing. When you really know someone, you're willing to do this. You're willing to suffer with them. The power of his resurrection, but the fellowship of his sufferings. I know that some of you have been hit pretty hard, and I know I have too, emotionally in the last few months and last few years. But I am so thankful for the people that took time just to call me and cry with me. They say, I know you're hurting. I know you've tried to be strong, this other type of thing. But they just put their hand on your shoulder, and they just kind of identify with their suffering. There's something about that. If you really want to know somebody, you'll get involved when it's not easy. You'll get involved when you don't need to know what to say. You just put your arm around them, or you just call, or you just sit with them, and you don't say a word. You're kind of there for them. A couple other little things, and I'll move on. That you're willing to, you know, wait on them. Both wait on them or wait on them. God has waited on you. He's waiting on you today. And I believe that God's going to do some amazing things in people's life. But the last little thing I wrote down, and I'll get back to it in my original text, is you're willing, if you really want to get to know someone, you're willing to sacrifice for them. And sacrifice, I think the most valuable commodity that all of us have is our time. I was sitting down, as a matter of fact, I was having lunch with a friend the other day. And I said, I want to show you something. We're getting ready to get our lunch, this type of thing. And I said, I want you to look at every table in this cafe. I said, I guarantee you, 90% of them will have their phones sitting on the table. Amen. I was right. Wasn't I, Todd? Is that the truth? All sitting out there waiting for that call. You are not that important. I hate to throw you the throes of depression, but really, and I didn't hear no phones ringing, but they're it's about to manifest. Well, when you're ready to put the phone away, when you're willing to make an investment, or you're willing to allow your emotions to get involved with what something's going through, that's when you really get to know them. Let me get back to this text here. If we know in the power of resurrection, there's some things that we're going to learn, that we must learn. Well, when the world thinks you are losing, you are really winning. Amen. Philippians chapter 3, verse 13. This is a great scripture. It says this. 3:13. Brethren, I do not count myself of having apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, I'm reaching forward to those things which are ahead. Now, I had to say forget about it a few moments ago, and I really want to bring that into context. Some of you are stuck in your past. And because you're stuck in your past, you cannot take hold of the future that Jesus has for you. But I want to tell you one of the reasons and how we get stuck in our past is the enemy is constantly reminding you of your past. The way you think or what you thought, the way things you did, situation you had, and it seems like all of a sudden you move forward and you're going back to the past. It's like seeing the same movie over and over and over. Aren't you tired of it? Seriously. Well, the power of the resurrection will cause you to put your life in subjection to what things are really important. We must be willing to let go of our feelings in order to have a relationship with depth and meaning. What does that mean? The enemy's gate into our life is through our feelings. God made us emotional people, and that's a wonderful thing. But when our emotions evoke feelings that capture you and paralyze you from doing what God's will is, that's not healthy. And so Paul's exhortation is in the power of his resurrection. The power of the resurrection of Christ did include feelings. Let me help you with that. And Jesus expressed his most earnest feelings when he was in the garden. We talked about it last week. And he said, Father, if it be possible, let this thing pass from me. I don't think I can handle it. But here's the part that I want to add to you today. But nevertheless, not on my feelings' sake, nevertheless, not what I will, what you will. In other words, you can surpass the feelings that I'm going through right now, and you can give me the victory to make it through. What you're feeling right now does not have to be a destination point for your life. God wants to move you past your feelings with faith to be all that he intends for you to be. And, you know, the power of his resurrection was not predicated, because if he had succumbed to his feelings, he would not have left the garden with the victory that he had. Well, what does that mean? It means that we must be willing to let go of insults without retaliation. Amen. Ooh, Jesus. That's now, see, the resurrection some of us are experiencing on a daily basis is a resurrecting of the person we were before we came to Jesus. No. Now, some of you ladies be grabbing your earrings and pulling them off, throwing them on the ground. Taking off your shoes, and you're ready to go. Forgive me for that. Feelings will drive you someplace. The power of the resurrection we're talking about is not the old feelings, but it's the predication upon the fact of what Jesus is doing in your life today. Well, it means our desire to feel important must give way to dying daily on the cross of self-denial. Furthermore, it means we must be willing to live like Jesus died without complaining about anything. I got something for you to take away from this message. Only one thing. I want you just to write it down. Just write this one thing down. Tomorrow, through the whole day, I'm going to go through a whole day without complaining about anything. Amen. Write it down. Put it in your phone. You hear what I said? I gave you permission to pick up that phone and put it in there. Put it on there for the top line. No complaining for today. Not about traffic, not about the cost of something. No complaint, because Jesus did not complain. Before he could be resurrected, he had to go through the fact of not complaining about how he's being treated, things are being said about him, things that were being done to him. He did not complain. Find any place where he complained. This crown is way not, this is not my size. This is not my, the robe, I'm sorry. It's not my color tone. Cross is way too heavy. Someone's going to have to pare it down. Let me get to this. The desire to defend ourselves must be abandoned with no desire to ever have it resurrected. That's a big one. What does it mean? When we put things behind us, we have realized that we have little to gain by trying to insist on our rights or being right. I'm not too much of a historian, but I did find out some things just about history, and there are big things that are being done now for trying to make things more equitable, you know, both racially and economically and whatever it happens to be. But I need to help you with that. If you're waiting for a law to pass or for some edict of the city to pass for you so you can feel good about who you are, good luck. They got an ordinance in the city now, and they're going to give back to us all the stuff they stole from us in gentrification, so we're going to get some of this stuff back. Good luck. You may get some, you may not get some. But your hope is not in that. Your hope is in Jesus. Amen. And he can do exceedingly above what you could ask, think, or even imagine. Yes. Nobody can set it straight like he can. Amen. Daily death on our cross will empower us with the resurrection power that cannot be overcome doubt, fear, and unbelief. Well, what about this? When we learn to live by the love that he demonstrated at the most vulnerable times in his life, that's the power of Jesus' resurrection. Amen. Well, we must learn how to demonstrate the power of his resurrection in us. Romans chapter 8, verse 11. This is great. But if the spirit of him who raised Christ, Jesus Christ from the dead, dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who dwells in you. Leave that up there for a moment. I'm going to take that in bite-sized pieces so you'll understand what he's saying. First of all, he's saying, if the spirit of him who raised Christ Jesus from the dead dwells in you. Notice the word if. There's an invitation that you need to make, and when you make it, the answer will be, yes, I'll come. That invitation is inviting Jesus in your life, and when you invite him into your life, the Holy Spirit comes as the one to take care of you, and he resides inside of you. You know what it's called? Transformation. What? Okay. So that He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. That's a big one. How can he give life to your mortal bodies? What that means is he can overrule the parts of you that is producing death. What? That negative part of you that always looks for the bad in everything. Oh, yeah, it's going to rain all day long. Yeah, I'll never get to work on time. Yeah, my kids, the house going to be tore up. And you just repeat all these things all day long. And you prophetically lead a miserable life. Rather than saying, you know, if this particular thing happens, God will see me through it. You're not behind the circumstances. Or is it? Well, here's the word. I shouldn't say behind. How do you do? Well, under the circumstances, everything's okay. You don't belong under the circumstances. The Bible says you're seated in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. Amen. So, hey, what you doing underneath there? Get out from under there. You don't belong there. Get up out of there. Power of the resurrection is knowing that you do not have to defend yourself to prove your authority. Wait, you don't know who you're talking to. You don't know who I am. I don't care to know who you are. I know you're looking kind of stupid right now, but you don't have to defend yourself. Here's another piece of that. It says, the resurrection of new life is accomplished through our weakness that is covered by the power of his resurrection. I know it's hard for men, myself included, to appear weak. But if we read the scripture, in our weakness, he's our strength. Okay. You can put, I'll make it easy, 100-pound weight on this stage. Oh, I can lift it. I can lift it better with your help. And sometimes we refuse to allow people to help us. I'm trying to be strong. Amen. Jesus wants to be our helper. We freely let go of the desire to prove ourselves worthy of his calling in our life. You know, excuse me, some people want to give an announcement of who they are. Well, you know when I was, and you know when I did, and I'm thinking, really? I don't remember asking. Amen, you give all kinds of proclamations and announcements. I don't remember putting that question before you. Let me move on. I think this is getting painful. Let me get to this last little portion because I think and we're doing pretty good today. The power of Christ's resurrection is evident in our lives as believers. Philippians 3, verses 8 and 9, we'll rehearse those again. Yet indeed, I also count all things loss for the excellence of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ. Question for you. What have you lost since you came to know Christ? Friends? Position? And I said, oh, I haven't lost anything. Matter of fact, then I don't want to say that you're subject, but if it was that easy of transition, you may have had an alliance with the enemy. Suffer the loss, and he put something in here. Boy, this is really tough. Suffer the loss of all things. Wow. That I may discover Christ. And then here's the other thing he says. And I count them as rubbish that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness of which is from God, by faith. Wow. Christ's resurrection is a personal experience. Can I get an amen? Amen. You say, well, we're celebrating today the resurrection of Jesus, but it's a personal experience. His resurrection takes place in the heart of those who choose to believe in him. Now, belief is a choice. Amen? You can choose to believe or choose not to believe. Gaining knowledge of Christ through faith in his word. Justification is the verdict that God put over our sin.
Come back next week for the continuation of this message. Thank you for listening today. We pray that you have been blessed by listening to the message. You are welcome to celebrate with us in worship and the Word every Sunday at 10 a.m. If you have a prayer need, we welcome you to submit it through our website. We'd love to pray for you. Will you consider supporting us with your prayer and financial gifts? God bless you.